Praise God.
Well, like I said earlier at the beginning of the service, is very soon there is going to be a worldwide resurrection where all of the mortal bodies of the departed saints, those who have believed in Jesus, will rise, and they will be clothed with immortality. And then we with them will be caught up in the air, and we will all see the Lord face to face with our immortal bodies, new bodies, clothed with, you know, I there is so much I want to say right now about that, but I got to move on. But because as thrilling as that is, just as thrilling as that moment is, you know, you've got to understand something. The moment that you were born again, your old dead spirit man died, and you were completely recreated in your spirit with resurrection life. The spirit of the living Christ was formed in you. The spirit of Christ. I still can't get that. I mean, if you can wrap your head around that, fine. And I'm renewing my mind to it daily, because the more I understand, the more I know I don't understand. The more I know, the more I know I need to know. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's just like when he said, light be, and the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. And they said, well, how far is that? I don't know, because when you get to the end of it, you got 186,000 miles more to go in one more second. It's just endless. He is endless. He is deep and rich. The planet heaven is the size of the Milky Way, if you can measure it in physical terms. It would be about that. You say, how do you know that? Just know who God is. He is big. He is big, big, bigger than big, bigger than you can imagine. And when he does show up, you're going to be so thankful for the blood. So thankful that you have, that blood has made you accepted in the beloved. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? You don't have to wait until then to experience that supernatural resurrection life. You don't have to wait for it. It belongs to you now, because when you were born again, that old spirit died and your new spirit was recreated, and you have been baptized into him, into his death, and raised up new so that you can walk in newness of life, and that newness of life is the resurrection life. The reason that most of us don't walk in that is because of ignorance, is because we are living below our privileges, and we have not yet taken it seriously. This has not yet become your reality. Too easy to sit down and watch TV and let the world tell you its vision, when you've got God's vision right in your lap, right in that Bible right there. In fact, let's go to our confession now, if we would, Stephen. Our weekly confession. This is about the Bible. This is the Word of God. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This Word is God speaking to me. Let it speak. Remember Mercy Me did that song? Word of God speak. Let it pour down like rain. Oh, what a beautiful song. Let it soak in. Drink it in. You know, Jesus said, he who comes to me, let him come unto me and drink. We don't need a sitting, talking relationship with Jesus. We need a drinking relationship with Jesus. And have that living water just fill up on the inside, because that water is loaded with life, miracles, power, all the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, everything. We don't have to wait. As thrilling as the resurrection to come is, we don't have to wait to walk that way. Amen. We can walk in it. You say, well, aren't we just, you know, earthly beings? No, we're not. Through the new birth, we've received his life, the life and glory of God, because he was raised up by the glory of the Father. And when you were born again, you were recreated in the form of the risen Christ in your spirit by the glory of the life and the glory of God live inside of you. Thank you for that thunderous silence. You should be dancing on your chairs or on the floor or whatever, or walking on your hand. You know, you should be doing something. This is the reality that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, that all became yours. We touched on that Friday night. In the death of the testator of a will, when Jesus died, everything in this will, every promise, every provision, every blessing, every benefit of the Bible was transferred to you. Because you are joint heirs with Christ. And everything he earned, everything he merited, everything that he did in conquering sin, hell, death, the grave, everything was put in a package and delivered right to you. I didn't plan on this, Stephen, so if we could go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children, that's you and me, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy. That word is better, destroy is better translated paralyzed. In fact, Rotherham's translation translates it that way. Because the devil's not yet destroyed. That day's coming. That day is coming, and we will watch it. We will watch what happens to the one who brought billions of people to hell, that God loved, that God treasured, that he might paralyze him that had the power of death. That, notice that word, had the power of death. He's a has-been. And the world's got to know it. You don't have to be afraid of this clown, this devil. You don't have to be afraid of him. He's a deceiver and a liar. He's got no truth. All he has is shadows and deception. Jesus is the light of the world, and he has the real story. And he backs it with the power of heaven. Did you know that you have already been translated into the kingdom of heaven? That is another reality that we have to deal with. You say, well, wait a second. I'm still here on the earth. The kingdom of heaven is a place, right? It's a planet, like everything else. And the kingdom of heaven is how heaven operates. And the kingdom of heaven operates everywhere that God and his body have dominion. When we exercise that dominion, the kingdom of God and the power of that kingdom backs it up. When we walk, God walks. When we speak, God speaks. Well, when we speak his word. And why speak anything else? Scripture or scriptural? We've got to bank on that, because it's really a matter of learning how to operate in a completely different realm. That's all. The kingdom of God is what Jesus came to give. He said this, fear not, little flock, for it's your heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom. the operations of heaven, how it operates, how it works, how it empowers. This is what Jesus walked in, and he said in John chapter 14, verse 12, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. You are one with the Father as much as Jesus is one with the Father, because all you got to do is walk in the works, walk in it. Jesus said, it is the Father in me. He does the works. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in me that does the works. And when you open your mouth and you witness to somebody at work or at the store or wherever you meet them, God is there to back it up. He works with you to make that word manifest in them. That's what you got when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you receive that, that's the anointing that abides within that is released when you speak his word. He's right there to back it up. He's right there to fulfill it. He's right there to empower those who hear and make it suitable for their spirit to get down in there and do its work. He just, if you gave something that valuable to somebody, wouldn't you be there to back it up? Well, he's here to back it up. What do you need? Do you need healing? In your body? In your mind? In your emotions? Do you need restoration or reconciliation in a relationship? What do you need? Do you know Jesus had to straighten out his disciples and get them reconciled on a regular basis? They're always arguing. Even going into the Last Supper, they were still arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And yet they followed him for 3.5 years. But the difference was they weren't born again like you are. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit like you are. That didn't happen yet. Nobody was born again until Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. It said he rose from the dead. Praise God. Now, Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Actually, this is part of a prayer. Very much like the Ephesian prayer. But in verse 11, says that we have been strengthened with all might. That word might is the word dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite from. Strengthened with explosive, self-energizing, supernatural power. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Not how you think it is, or not your power. So I don't know if I can do that. Well, you should have known that before. You can't do a lot of things. But he can through you if you just take the steps. Open your mouth. Walk, talk, believe, think, associate, identify with who he says you are. With all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made him meet, which has made us meet. That means, that's an old King James, he has empowered us. Empowered us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light. That's you and me. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Is this something that's going to happen someday? Come on, guys. Is it something that's going to happen someday? No. God says it's already happened. It's already in you. Boy, come on, guys. This is something that has already taken place, that he has delivered you from the power of darkness. You know that darkness has a stench to it? It has Satan's stench to it. This world has Satan's stench. He's ugly. I mean, prideful, arrogant, ugly. You'll never meet a more ugly person than the devil. He loves killing people. He loves to destroy. He loves to see people suffer. He is totally irredeemable. And when he gets his, no saint should ever shed a tear for the death and destruction that that guy caused. You think the Ayatollah over there, I mean, they murdered people on a daily basis in Iran for the last 47 years. According to their Islam, that is not even religion. It's a political ideology, and it is their license to go ahead and murder. It is a death cult. I said it's a death cult. It's a cult of death. You know, if a woman is taken in adultery in Islam, she is stoned. If they're taken in adultery, Jesus forgives. You got to understand the big difference here. Their Allah is Satan. I'm just telling you the way it is, the way it is. Do I hate those people? No. In fact, I pray for them that their eyes would be open, that they would see that they need... Think of this. Think of the world, what it would be like if there was no, if there was never any resurrection of Christ. Nothing would make sense. There would be no justice, no right, wrong, or anything. There would be no culmination of anything. Nothing would have any reason or purpose. You could do what you want. Consciences would be totally seared. Just think of that. What a world would be like if Jesus never rose from the dead, never showed us that there's something more than this life, something more to look forward to beyond this. And the closer I come to that point in my life where I know I'll transition, the more I look forward, because I've been delivered from the fear of death. Amen. You know why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And I know that I know that I know down in my knower that I know that he is real, because I knew what my life was like without him. And now I know what it's like with him. And I won't change. I won't trade and go back. No, I put my hand to the plow. I'm not turning back. No turning back, no turning back. Praise God. Well, where am I here? Let's do this. We got a few minutes here. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. It's a good place to start when you're talking about resurrection, huh? Verses 1. Let's go verse 1 through 3. Did I put the wrong one? Yeah, verses 1, 2, and 3 we're going to read. This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, praise God, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now follow me here, because there are questions to be answered here. Who is this Theophilus? It's been a mystery. Theologians forever. I think it's pretty obvious who he is, but I'll tell you why in a minute. Theophilus, it was never mentioned before or after by anybody else in the Bible. To some, it's totally a mystery, and they dismiss it like it's not important, but it's very important. And it's found in the purpose of the book of Acts that was written and the Gospel of Luke. He's mentioned in both of those by the same author, Luke. Why was it written? Well, I believe that Luke, who traveled with Paul, when Paul was arrested in Rome, and he was set to be trial. He was waiting years for his trial, actually. And Luke went around to write the book of Luke and the book of Acts. I believe it was because he was putting together a defense for Paul's trial. It's the only thing that makes sense. Because if he was writing it for any other purpose, why would the book of Acts just stop so abruptly? There's no amen, there's no salutations, there's no, it's the only book in the Bible where there's no end. So when Paul was taken, he was found guilty, they take him promptly out and they beheaded him, and the book of Acts ends. And I think that Luke just kept it with him and then realized how important it was to get this out. And I think that's when they started making copies of it and sending it around the book of Acts, because it does several things, the book of Acts. Number one, well, first of all, Luke called it a treatise. A treatise, which by definition is carefully written, it's a document that is organized and detailed, and it examines a subject entirely. This is like what they would put together as a court brief that would leave out nothing. Then there's also the abrupt act. You see, if he was writing this for any other reason, he would have kept writing, right? But Paul died, his reason for writing it stopped. So I said this. Why am I saying all this? Because the Holy Spirit took Luke's writing, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and adopted it into his holy writ. It became the Word of God. And all the time he was writing it, he had no idea. That's how accurate it is. Because the Spirit of Truth, who authored the Bible, authored that thing through Luke, and he didn't even know it. Luke thought, you know why he wrote it? It seemed good to us. He said in the book of Luke, it just seemed good to us. See, when something seems good to you, you're being led by the Spirit. You get that seeming good feeling on the inside, right? Well, he was being led by the Holy Spirit to do it. And God, and Paul got that same thrill too. In fact, when Jesse went to heaven, Jesse Duplantis, he met the Apostle Paul. And he said, forgive me, Mr. Paul. Jesse, forgive me, Mr. Paul. He says, I know, I you could sue me for plagiarism. I preached everything you ever wrote. He says, oh, that's all right, Jesse. He said, you know what? The biggest thrill that I got was when I found out later that God had taken all my letters and made them his own. That's how I realized how important it was what I was doing on the earth, and how dedicated I was to it. I could have been more dedicated. I could have, you know, but the thing is, in my weakness, he was made strong. In my imperfection, he was made perfect. Look, guys, you are resurrected in your spirit. You have the resurrection power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Let's dedicate ourselves to that anew and assume the seat that we have been given, that when Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised together with him, and we were made to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, and every name that is a name that is named, not only there, but here now. It's time we get busy, because God wants to take the things that we've done and he wants to adopt them into his own. He wants us to do the kind of works that he can reward and give benefit to. So that when you stand before him and you're, you know what? You're probably not even going to remember all the things you did wrong. You won't. You will be so overtaken by the awesome look at his presence, knowing, and he, why would he acknowledge those things that he paid for to wipe out? Who condemns you? It's not Christ who died for you and rose again, who bled for you. No. Because you will be looking into the eyes of the very one who gave himself for your eternal life and your eternity. And all the benefits, privileges, everything that goes along with it. Jesus rose from the dead. We are risen from the dead. We don't have that old dead life to try to overcome. Stop fighting with that. Just turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Be filled with that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. These letters, these books, all compiled together for only one reason, to give us benefit, to give us an advantage, to give us power, to give us strength, to give us vision, and to give us faith so that we can look through the things of this world into the answers and solutions that he has for us. Thank you, Father. Take these words, Father. Make them your own. How humbling that is. Make them your own in us. Thank you, Jesus. Conform in us that which these words declare about us, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, so that we know that going whatever the world throws at us, whatever the devil throws at us, whatever fears come our way, we are so filled with the resurrection power of God that it's not even a fair fight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus wins, the devil loses. You're saved and restored, redeemed, and you are one with Christ. Praise God. Walking in resurrection power. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up.